The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Welcome to the Eric Metaxas Show. It's the show that answers the question,
is it possible to make a vowel sound out of a potato?
Can the word potato be a verb?
What about an actual potato? Can that be a verb?
What about the word verb? Can the word verb be a verb? Can it be a potato?
Mama, I'm scaring myself.
And now your host, Eric Metaxas.
Hey there, folks. Welcome to the Eric Metaxas Show. It's a show.
Yeah.
It's really a radio show. So if you're watching it on video, on YouTube, shame on you. Albin, you're making an appearance. I can see you.
And I know. I got my ear plug in. I'm
James, our engineer, is incognito today. Now, the reason he's incognito, because he's ashamed about his dog. I got an email today complaining, or maybe it was on Twitter, complaining about the dog that was probably Eric's dog. I said, oh, no. That was James's dog. But James, the engineer, does such a good job, we have to let it go. We have no leverage. Okay,
just keep it on the leash.
Today we've got John Zmirak coming up. In hour two, we also have the son of Luis Palau, Andrew Palau, and his wife, Wendy. They're talking about something coming up this Saturday, actually. They do these amazing events and things.
So that's stories of hope. Yeah.
That's right. That's what it's called. Tomorrow, I'm pretty sure we're going to air my conversation with Dennis Prager and Adam Carolla, the comedian Adam Carolla.
Yes.
Not to be confused with the dry cleaner Adam Carolla or the Toyota Corolla. Adam Carolla and Dennis Prager tomorrow on this program. And Kelly Shackelford of First Liberty, you guys know him. I've known him for years. He's a religious freedom guy. Fantastic. That's tomorrow. Friday, we have Ask Metaxas, that's me, and we also are going to do Fun Facts Friday.
Yes.
Ton of fun. But I wanted to talk now just about a couple of things. First of all, Chris Himes has joined us. During this corona time, I just want to say, finally, like at first I was kind of enjoying just the peace from everything, like just my brain needed to rest, and it was like enforced Sabbath or something like that. But very recently, I realized, you know what? I miss baseball. It's just not America. It's not summer without baseball. I need baseball, but there's no baseball on TV. Obviously, no baseball in the parks. It's kind of a problem, and I hope they can work something out soon. It seems to me a little bit absurd not to have any baseball season. But I do hope they have baseball. Now, I wrote a poem. People don't know the sensitive side of me, but I'm extremely sensitive to the point of effeminacy. And I've written a lot of poems, and I posted them on my website, ericmetaxas.com. They're free if you want to read some of them. But what I do is I write what's called light verse, usually. A lot of it is light verse. And it's kind of fallen out of vogue. But, you know, it's verse that it's not... it's not very sophisticated. Some of it is sophisticated, but light verse is not that sophisticated. And then I've written a lot of poems for children, but I wrote a poem some years ago about Babe Ruth. And I thought I'd like to share that today. I won't share it now because we've got other things to talk about, but I want to do a dramatic reading of my poem, about the Bambino, Babe Ruth, because he represents to me just the happiest part of baseball, you know, before steroids, when it was just, you know, it was the American pastime. And actually this year marks exactly 100 years since he joined the Yankees. Think about that, folks. That's 100 years ago, 1920s. The Yankees got him for like $1 zillion.
Wow.
It was a huge contract. And that year, he hit 54 home runs. No one in the history of baseball had ever hit more than 50 home runs. I think the next year he hit 59. And then, of course, in 1927, he had his big year where he hit 60. And wasn't really trying. Like he was.
Well, the right field fence. The right field fence was 200 feet back then.
That's not true.
And by the way, he could not be called the Sultan of SWAT today because that's cultural appropriation.
Never thought of that. I'll never think of it again. All right. Now, listen, Alvin, before we continue, I want to give a couple of happy updates. And something, actually, some people are going to get very excited about what I share in a second. But before that, someone emailed us that you, Alvin, had cracked a joke. You and Chris and I were goofing around and you cracked a joke. I think this was during the Fun Facts Friday. I don't even know if we aired it or not. I think we already aired it. We did, obviously. Otherwise, the person wouldn't have commented. So, but you cracked a joke, and the guy who wrote to us said that I missed the joke and it made it even funnier.
Yeah.
And I was wondering if we could recreate that joke.
Okay. Well, Chris, you want to talk about the wombat?
Yeah, I can do that. Here's a fun fact about animals in Australia. The wombats, when they go number two or make a poopy, I think was what Eric said, the shape of said output of organic animal matter, it's in the shape of a cube.
Okay. And to which I replied.
I said I didn't believe that. I was going blah, 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 blah. I don't believe that. That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. And in the middle of me yammering, Albin said,
I said, that's one Rubik's cube that I don't want to solve.
And evidently I missed that.
And evidently it was funny.
Funny, and shame on me. No, that, yes. Okay. All right.
I love rehashing jokes. I think that's the,
I was going to say, if you want to kill a funny joke, just retell it.
Yeah. And say, oh, this is funny.
And then he goes, and then I says, let me share the exciting thing that I wanted to share with, with the group. Okay. I didn't mention today that before we go to John Zmirak, I want to say the good news on our fundraiser for Angel Tree. Okay. We're sending kids to camp. And if they don't get to go to camp, we're sending them a wonderful care package for $200. You don't have to send $200, but I'm saying for every $200, we hope you can. But whatever you send, it goes toward a care package of $200 or toward $200 sending them to camp for the week. Okay. But the care package includes $150 worth of grocery cards that they can use to get groceries. A lot of these kids and their families are going through a tough time. They may live in tough neighborhoods. The mom or the dad who is the parent that's home, the other one is incarcerated, may have lost his or her job. So it's tough stuff. And we're doing this wonderful, wonderful thing. Our goal, our original goal, whenever we set a goal, you understand it's a minimum, right? This is a minimum goal. But the real goal is to raise so much money that we can help thousands and thousands of kids. That's really the goal, of course. But that's up to you. That's all we can do is tell you about it. But we have raised so far enough to send 226 kids to camp, and the ones that won't go to camp will get this wonderful care package with a Bible and a piece of sports equipment and the grocery card and some Bible study aids and a letter. And it's wonderful, folks. This is wonderful, wonderful, wonderful stuff. And I sound like Lawrence Welk. Wonderful, wonderful. So listen, here's the cool thing. We said that anybody who gives $100 gets a free subscription to Metaxas Super, which is commercial-free podcasting. So you listen to this program, no commercials. Number two, anybody who gives $200 gets two subscriptions to Metaxas Super and a signed copy of my new book, Seven More Men. But some wonderful person emailed us that they said they wanted to help us in this campaign and they want us to sweeten the deal. They're going to send us, listen to this, they're going to send us a limited number, very limited, it's like maybe 30 Geneva Bible pages. Okay. The original Geneva Bible, Calvin. Okay. This is 16th century. Okay. Original Geneva Bible pages, single pages. Okay. I should have brought one to hold up to the screen because I have one, but it's extraordinary stuff, extraordinary. And we wanted to say, if you give $250, Okay. Now we only have 3 days left, so you're gonna have to jump on this. But if you give $250, you'll get everything we said plus the Geneva Bible page, suitable for framing. That's an understatement. Okay, we're out of time. We'll be back with John Zmirak.
They shake their heads, they say I've changed, but something's lost and something's gained in living every day.
Make like a Mr. Milquetoast, you'll get shut out.
Make hey, folks, like welcome back to the Eric Metaxas Show. And guess what? Yes, 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 you guessed. We have John, the Situation Zmirak, calling in from the Jersey Shore. John, have you already been drinking this morning?
You know, it lingers. It lingers from the night before. You
people
know?
Are partying on the Jersey Shore, man. They need to get the situation to do another public service announcement. John, I got a lot I want to talk to you about, but before I pull you in, look, he's wearing a mask. I love it. I love it. Before
only when I'm alone.
I just want to say that at some point in this program, I'm going to read a poem that I wrote about Babe Ruth because I miss baseball. So I just want to warn people that's coming up today. I also want to say what I just said in the previous segment. I didn't finish the thought that if anybody gives $250 to our campaign for Angel Tree to send these kids to summer camp whose parents are incarcerated, if you give $250, if you give $200, you get a signed copy of my book, Seven More Men. And you also get two subscriptions to Metaxas Super, which is really super. But if you give $250, we will also send you a page of the Geneva Bible. Someone has made a gift to us of a number of – these are the original pages from a Geneva Bible from – what is it, 1600? I forget exactly the year these were printed. But these are magnificently old. They're in beautiful condition. Someone has made a gift, a limited amount of them. So whoever gives $250 from now – on we just have a couple of days, we will also send you that. Believe me, it's an amazing thing. So I just had to say that. In order to do this, you have to go to metaxastalk.com. You'll see the banner, metaxastalk.com. All right, John Zmirak, you've written a whole bunch of things. I don't know where to start. I think the last one I read was about how to talk about the current situation with civility. You want to talk about that one?
Sure. My title is, can you have, let's get the exact title. It's over at stream.org. It's, can we conduct a calm and winsome dialogue over the Reichstag virus, which is my neutral term for the virus we're dealing with. I call it the Reichstag virus because they're using it to suspend the Constitution.
Right. Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Right. Who really needs a constitution, right? I mean, when we had President Barack Obama, we didn't even need the legislature. We had the God King who should have been president for life. And, he could channel the voice of history so we would be on the right side of history, not end up on the rubbish heap of history, as the left likes to talk, because, they have an infallible knowledge of how things are supposed to turn out.
It's so much easier when you have a dictator, isn't it? It's not the middleman. A little bit less red tape. It just smooths things along. Why didn't the founding fathers think of that? I don't know. So what do you say in your article at stream.org?
The great thing is that dictator continued to rule for 3 years through the deep state, right? He wouldn't accept his replacement by Donald Trump. So in my article, I have an argument between a Texas evangelical named Obadiah and a New York woke liberal just happens to be named Karen.
Huh, interesting.
And the article ends with Karen reporting Obadiah to social media and his accounts being canceled. But in the course of it, I go through all the incoherent arguments that the left is offering. Think of all the goalposts that were originally set. We're going to shut down for a couple weeks so that we won't overwhelm the hospitals. Then there were hospital ships and tent hospitals and convention centers full of hospital beds, all empty all never used, millions of dollars wasted. And the Democrat governors emptied the hospitals of COVID patients by dumping them at nursing homes. I even have a piece at the stream. I talk about Gretchen Whitmer's Michigan. In Detroit, the authorities took a 20-year-old violent, autistic, mentally ill young man with a history of violence and took him from a hospital and dumped him in a nursing home where he spread COVID to the other patients and physically assaulted an elderly man in his 70s in his bed. Rob, the guy, was beating him up. And we have that on video. That is the Democrat blue state response to COVID, is to dump the elderly where they're likely to die, dump virus patients with them, leave the beds empty, and use the virus as a pretext to shut down the economy. Why? Because they're running on the Patty Hearst strategy. Those of you who remember Patty Hearst in the 1970s, she was a daughter of a billionaireess, William Randolph Hearst. She was kidnapped by this crackpot cult, the Symbionese Liberation Army, which has now changed its name to the Democrat National Committee.
That's funny.
The SBLA kidnapped her, held her hostage when her father wouldn't pay the ransom. They brainwashed her into joining them. They starved her and beat her into joining them. And she became part of the terrorist group and robbed banks with them and made speeches about, I now support the goals of the Symbionese Liberation Army. And eventually she was rescued and was put on trial. And we will all learn about something called Stockholm Syndrome. If you capture someone and beat them and starve them and lock them up, they eventually might come to side with their captor. It's a natural psychological adaptation. That's what the Democrats are counting on American voters will do. They lock us down, starve us, threaten us, hammer us down with threats of death, or you might be killing thousands of old people. Well, actually, Governor, that's your job, right? You're the one who kills thousands of old people. I want a mask, Eric, that says Cuomo kills grandmas. I will wear that in my sleep. I think we need to market that.
Listen, you know what? Listen, I wish I could, frankly, because what I find interesting, John, and I'm curious what you think about this. It seems to me, living as I have done for a long time in New York and Connecticut, that basically I have been somehow divorced from local leadership or state leadership. I just live my life, and that's called freedom, right? But because of this COVID virus, because of the new situation, suddenly local leaders and state leaders, governors, have appeared, as it were, and taken actions. And so suddenly you realize the consequences, the very serious consequences of, forget about who you voted for president, your mayor. Your governor, your local leaders, you realize that, God forbid, something happens where they exert powers that they don't normally exert, you know, and they don't just tax you to death and let the violent homeless take over the city, but they do things like we have seen Governor Cuomo do and Governor de Blasio do. And you suddenly realize, wow, elections have consequences. Wow. My mayor and my governor, I better vote in this election, and I better think about how they dealt with the last crisis and how they grabbed all this power. Because I'm being honest when I say I hadn't quite thought of it before. For the first time, I'm realizing many Americans are seeing this in Michigan and other places.
Well, you know, I grew up in New York, and I remember when it was a bipartisan city and a bipartisan state. And thanks largely to immigration, which the Democrats knew this would happen, it has become a one-party state. And so once that happens, you start to feel like, you know, a foreigner, like, oh, I'm an emigre. I don't get to vote in this country. Sure, I was born here, but it became a different country, and I don't really, my vote doesn't count here anymore. So, you know, I'm basically a guest of the People's Republic of Manhattan Stan. And your local judges matter. I live in Dallas, which is a red state, but it's a blue city. And we have these crackpot judges who got, and prosecutors who got swept in 2018. And they're the ones closing barbershops and trying to force people to wear masks when they sleep. And it takes, thank God, we have a great governor, Greg Abbott, who's a solid, serious statesman, everything you'd want, I think, in a president. And he's doing a great job here pushing back. If you remember 2 weeks ago, that woman reopened her hair salon a week too early, and the judge wanted her to do a self-criticism in the court to, you know, like in the Chinese Cultural Revolution. Okay, if you accuse yourself and you apologize to me, then I will not give you a fine. And she refused, and Abbott cracked down on the judge. Yeah, local elections have consequences.
But it's another moment for Americans, it seems to me, that this is a teaching moment. We're being forced to see the consequences of Democratic leadership.
If they get this vote by mail scam, that will be the last election. That means they will, the Democrats are preparing for national, huge voter fraud on a massive scale using this vote by mail, which is quite different from an absentee ballot. An absentee ballot, you request from the government. You have shown proof that you're a voter. You request it. They send it to you. You get it. You send it in. Vote by mail is they just mail a bunch of ballots out to everybody. They drop them from helicopters, and then they will show up in neat alphabetical order filled out in pen.
Hang on. We're going to go to a break, folks. We're going to be back with John Zmirak. It's the Eric Metaxas Show. Christian best-selling author and speaker Richard E. Simmons does not shy away from the big questions of life. His latest book is called Reflections on the Existence of God, and it tackles the biggest question of all, does God exist? I've read this book, and I got to tell you, I'm a little biased, but you can imagine that I like it a lot because Simmons offers insights for those grappling with life's biggest questions. Where do we find meaning in life? Who determines what is evil? Can we be moral without God? Does God even exist? Former White House aide Wallace Henley says, I've taught apologetics for many years and I've read every scholar mentioned in this book. Of all the books on apologetics, Simmons is the best I have ever read. This book is easy to read because it's divided into a series of brief essays, perfect for a devotional or discussion with a friend. I highly recommend that you add a copy of Reflections on the Existence of God to your pandemic reading list. Simmons asks questions that speak directly to one of the most important things you possess, your worldview. Folks, you know how important this is to me. Your worldview is going to impact the way you live your life for better or for worse. If you want to challenge yourself to spiritual and intellectual growth, and I hope you do, then be willing to ask yourself life's toughest questions. Dive in today by picking up a copy of Reflections on the Existence of God right now. Go to existenceofgodbook.com. That's existenceofgodbook.com. Folks, welcome back to the Eric Metaxas Show. I'm talking to John Zmirak. John, you've written a lot of articles at stream.org. What's the one on Denethor? You just referred to something with regard to the Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
Tell us about that.
Well, you know, Eric, as an evangelical, you are prone to quote chapter and verse from the New Testament and the Old Testament. As a Catholic, I'm likely to do the same thing, except from the Silmarillion or the Lord of the Rings.
Now, are those now in the Apocrypha?
Yeah. They were affirmed by the Council of Nicaea, and you guys rejected them.
Right. Okay. Good.
That one's on you. The Lord of the Rings kind of served as a Bible for me as a kid, and the Silmarillion when it came out. So I tend to process things in terms of the Tolkien myth, and I got a piece at stream.org, how to shake that Denethor feeling. And those of you who've read the books or seen the movie, remember that the guy who's running Gondor, because there's no king, is Denethor. He's the steward, okay? And he has been following the enemy, the Dark Lord, Sauron, following his movements, using this stone, the seeing stone called the Palantir, that lets him see things from far away. It lets him see all over the kingdom. It lets him see what Sauron is doing. He thinks it's a good tool. The problem is Sauron has one and has gained control over it. This was Tolkien's prophetic vision of Twitter and social media and the mainstream media. Yes, you and I, Eric, we can see what's going on far away, but CNN controls the Palantir and it feeds us the messages it wants us to see, which are designed to do what? To get us to surrender and despair. and assume that the forces of darkness are just too powerful and we don't have any hope. Now, Tolkien in The Lord of the Rings, these stones are reserved for powerful, important people who are intellectually and spiritually prepared to use them. You and I have one in our pockets, the Palantir in your pocket. And if you stare into the Palantir, if you just read the headlines, if you just see what the media is feeding us, I mean, barging into the president's tweets to say, this might not be true. Please read this propaganda pamphlet we have helpfully printed up for you. Or just censoring. Right now, Google, which controls YouTube, follows the World Health Organization, which is controlled by the Chinese Communist Party. So the Chinese Communist Party is censoring the internet. No biggie. Hey, that's fine, right?
John, we've really come to such a strange pass because, you know, people like you and me, we have known that there is real evil in the world. Because my parents grew up, during World War II in Europe and they saw the communists, when I was raised to know that there is real evil in the world. But most Americans, we've kind of grown up in such a happy place and we forget that there's real evil. So the idea that we would sort of open ourselves up to China in the way that we did so that now this can be happening, I guess my question is, what do you think we can do about this? I mean, I'm an enemy of globalism for this alone, even doing business with China and allowing them to have any prosperity so that they can further subjugate their citizens is evil. What's that?
Now China is attacking India. They've got thousands of troops on Indian soil. They're violating their agreement with the people of Hong Kong. They're building artificial islands to control the South China Sea. They're buying up Africa. They already own our media. And anyone like Beijing Joe Biden who wants to collaborate with the National Socialist regime in Beijing, anybody like that really has no business in U.S. politics.
Look, that's Barack Obama. To some extent, it was the Bushes, and it was certainly Bill Clinton. There's a naivete, and I think it has to go along with what you and I have talked about a lot. They feel like they're more sophisticated. They feel like they can do business with these people. They can talk sense into these people. They don't believe in evil. They think that everyone will listen to reason. You know, if you're wearing the right suit and you talk in a certain way,
go to a TED talk.
Clearly, this has not happened. And the damage has been tremendous.
There's a historical anecdote not a lot of people know about. Have you ever watched any of the great Hollywood films from the 1930s critical of the Nazis and their anti-Semitism?
Sure.
No, because there aren't any.
No,
they didn't make any. The Jewish heads. Wait, Eric.
Not of the anti-Semitism. You're right. They criticize the Nazis, but not the anti-Semitism. That is a fact. That's a fact.
The Jewish heads of Hollywood movie studios who knew about the abuse of their Jewish cousins over in Germany would not make movies about it because they were afraid, and this is all on historical record, and I've read about this in Jewish history books, they were afraid that the Germans would keep American movies out of German theaters, which is exactly what's happening now with China. When they remade Top Gun, they took out the historically accurate badge with the flag of Taiwan because the Chinese said, we will not show this in our theaters. And so, money talks, BS and morals walk. So the studio agreed. 1,000 little things like that, 1,000 little bits of bias of Chinese propaganda have crept into our media. I don't know, have you ever interviewed Stephen Mosher?
No.
Oh, you need to have him on. He's the guy who revealed the Chinese one-child policy in the 1980s. He exposed it personally. And now he runs a group called the Population Research Institute. And he has a book called The Bully of Asia.
John, hang on. Let's come back to this. We've got plenty of time. I want to remind people, please go to MetaxasTalk.com, click on the banner, or you can call. Pick up your phone now, 888-206-2793, 888-206-2793.
Sodom, Egypt, Gomorrah. Cain,
Hey, folks, welcome back. I'm talking to John Zmirak. John, you were just talking about how in the 1930s, Hollywood studios, many of them run by Jews, refused to criticize the anti-Semitism of the Nazis because they were afraid that the Germans would not allow those Hollywood films to be played in Germany and that they would lose money. And the same thing is happening today with China. I mean, we
not
have
just those Hollywood films.
What's that?
They were afraid that the Nazis would ban anything by their studio. So right. You make one movie about Nazi anti-Semitism, no Warner Brothers movie will show in Germany again. So right. That is what our media have been doing. Our media have been doing that with China. You can't criticize China's 1 million plus people in concentration camps, their use of slave labor, the fact that they're stealing organs from religious prisoners and political prisoners and selling them for a profit, or the fact that they launched this Pearl Harbor bioweapon attack on the world that is called coronavirus.
And can you imagine that they dared just the other day, either yesterday or the day before, to say that if we, the United States, interfered in the Hong Kong situation, we would be in a cold war with them? Well, first of all, we're already in a cold war with them. They should wake up and understand that we're in a cold war with them because we have a president who sees what they've been doing and who has, in fact, been talking about it for over 30 years. President Trump didn't just come up with this yesterday. But I guess, John, this comes to the issue of character. In other words, if you will do business with anyone to make a buck, that's a level of cynicism that is no different than saying, I don't care about slavery. I just want to make money. Listen, I'm in it for me. In other words, if that's your attitude, you are cynical and you have no character and you have no integrity. But there are people today who are doing similar things, and we need to call them out and say, listen, this is not okay. In America, you have to believe in liberty, and you have to understand that if you take it lightly, human beings are going to suffer. And if you pretend to care about racism, China has a policy of racism that is just happening now. It is happening today. They're doing this. Why don't people criticize that?
Well, the same.
They don't. They'd rather talk about, you know, anything else.
The same people, okay, these same people who want to do business with China, let's remember this is bipartisan. This goes back into the 90s, the GOP establishment that Donald Trump took on, the Bushes, the whole GOP establishment, they were all for letting China into the World Trade Organization, letting China steal our intellectual property, letting China displace our workers and empty out our manufacturing base. And it was only people like Ross Perot and Pat Buchanan and Donald Trump who were dismissed as cranks, as crackpots, as racists, as bigots, as xenophobes, just the way the Never Trumpers talk about us, Eric. These were the people who helped turn China from a third world country into an active military threat to the United States, which is arming faster than Hitler was arming in the 1930s. And you can see the documents and the statistics for that in Stephen Mosher's terrific book, The Bully of Asia.
What did Hitler have? Like 50 million people? We've got 1.3 billion in China. Now, by the way, about 100 million of them are serious Christians. Just so we understand, there are many great people, brave people, suffering at the hands of the Chinese government, suffering at the hands of the communists. And we need to understand that there are people on the inside there who have suffered horrors, and it's for them that we ought to fight. But I want to say to the NBA and to Nike and to Apple and to everyone else, you know, you've got to look yourself in the mirror. You've got to ask yourself, have you sold your soul for profits? In this day and age, with regard to China, that is a very serious question.
And when we criticize the communist, tyrannical, national socialist regime in Beijing, people use the racism card. And you know what? They did that in the 30s with Germany, too. The German-American Bund used to scream that any criticism of the Nazi government was anti-German bias. And you know what? There had been real anti-German bias in America during World War I and after. They wiped out German cultural clubs. They stopped teaching German in schools, all in a frenzied reaction against the relatively benign regime that was in Germany in 1914 compared to what came later. So they took real bias and weaponized it on behalf of a totalitarian regime. That's exactly what's happening here. There has been historically real bias against Chinese Americans in the United States. That has nothing to do with criticizing a crackdown in Hong Kong or a concentration camp in East Turkestan. Nothing. There's zero connection there. I don't know a single American who's opposed to the Chinese communist regime who takes it out on his Asian American neighbors. No, there's no exist. Do you know where there is there's bias against Asian Americans? When the left imposes admission quotas at Ivy League schools to keep down the number of Asians and get more of their favorite constituencies into Harvard or Yale. So they're going to get rid of the SATs and they're going to make everything based on the interview. Oh, he's got such charm. He's so sassy. We're going to put him in Harvard. We're not going to take this. That Asian guy, he's just a nerd. He just has a 4.0 since kindergarten. You know, I don't think he's got a well-rounded personality. We need somebody like David Hogg, who can barely tie his shoes without injuring himself, but he's got leadership potential.
Actually, I don't even know who that is.
Hogg was the kid from Parkland who didn't help his fellow students, but became their spokesman after the mass shooting.
And oh, yes. Isn't that sweet?
That little Gibbles.
It's an amazing thing, John. You know, part of the reason we do the show and why I want to talk to you is because there are many people trying to puzzle this through. And you're not getting much of this kind of conversation out there. I mean, I think we have to understand what's happening with China. If we do not face this bully now, we've basically been deferring this for decades because of the cravenness of our leaders. We finally have a leader who on this issue sees clear as crystal and is taking action. And I just want to say that Americans need to unite. This is not something where it ought to be a partisan issue. If you care about Uyghur Muslims being persecuted because they're Muslims and because they're part of a certain ethnicity, that is open racism. They're being put in camps. This is real. This is not something that's made up. This is not kids in cages. It's not a joke. It's not something people can argue about. This is absolutely clear. When we come back, we're talking more to John Smirak. Folks, I want to remind you, go to MetaxasTalk.com, our Angel Tree number. You can call it now, 888-206-2793, 888-206-2793. Hey, folks, it's Eric from Taxes Show talking to John Zamirak. So, John, let's talk about another article you wrote at The Stream. And people should go to The Stream. It's stream.org. Tremendous place for news. There aren't that many places to go on the web. I don't know where people go to get their news, but stream.org, one of the best. A lot of people don't know about it. Okay, John, what's the one you wrote about the Korean veteran?
I wrote this yesterday on Memorial Day. How could you explain today's America to a Korean War veteran at a nursing home? Okay, not a lot of people have paid attention to the Korean War. They call it America's Forgotten War. It was right after World War II. It involved some of the same soldiers who'd been fighting against Japan and Germany, got sent again to save South Korea from being taken over by a Stalinist regime in North Korea, when we all know how wicked and horrible the North Korean regime is now. It was worse back then. They invaded South Korea with no provocation, no excuse. It was just an invasion like Germany's invasion of Poland. The U.S. gathered the United Nations the one time it was actually useful because the Soviets were boycotting it. So we got a U.N. army and we drove them back to the Chinese border. China then invaded with hundreds of thousands of volunteer soldiers. And they drove us back to the 38th parallel. It was this bitter, horrible stalemate. Our soldiers were in 20 degree below weather, freezing, in some cases starving, bitterly fighting to preserve these people we hardly knew in South Korea. It was actually a noble moment in American history, but it was hard on the soldiers. It was the beginning, the real beginning of the Cold War. And right now, in many of the blue states, veterans hospitals have been infected with COVID patients at the orders of governors like Cuomo and Whitmer. And it's happening in New Jersey. It's happening in virtually all the blue states. Cuomo, I think, was forced to suspend this policy. California is a noble exception. In California, they did protect the veterans hospitals, but not in New York, not in Michigan. So imagine trying to explain to a Korean War veteran in one of those nursing homes why seven or eight of his fellow Korean War veterans have died of this virus. Well, it's because the governor sent people with the virus here. Why did he do that? I don't know, to free up beds for healthy people who never showed up. Where did the virus come from? It came from China. Was it an accident? Well, they released it to the world on purpose. They locked down China. They let people with the virus fly all around the world. So this is like a Pearl Harbor attack. Are we fighting back? No. Basically, most of the world's apologizing to China, and we're letting China censor our media here in America. And anything that China doesn't like that we say about the virus gets taken down and censored. What? I mean, my comrades they dodged Chinese bullets in the 50s, and now they're going to die from a Chinese bullet, and the government is apparently not on their side. It's on China's side. Well, the president is doing his best, but you know, the whole of the media, half of Congress, the Democrat governor for candidate for president, his son made $1 billion from the Chinese government, and he's constantly saying that we need to help China get richer and stronger. How would you explain that to one of those veterans? I just hope that those veterans don't know the depths that we have sunk to, because they would ask, why did we fight? What did we fight for?
John, we're gonna have to stop there, but we're gonna keep you into hour two, so don't go away. Folks, if you want more of John Zmierak, just don't go away. It's that simple. Now, folks, I also want to remind you, we are still this week doing our campaign for Prison Fellowship's Angel Tree to help the children of prisoners. It is a noble, glorious thing. Anybody who gives $250 will get a leaf from an original Geneva Bible. Somebody made a gift of those to us. You can burn it. You can frame it. You can do what you like, but you have to call 888-206-2793, 888-206-2793, or just go to the website, metaxastalk.com. We'll be right back with more with John Zmierak.